third case of the morning, Checkamed versus Alberto Gonzalez. Mr. Croteau.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, Guy Croteau on behalf of the petitioner, Sheikh Waqar Ahmed. Your Honors, this is an immigration case, and in it, plaintiff had claimed the right to adjust his status to that of alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence without leaving the United States under the provisions of the INA, the Immigration and Nationality Act, as amended by the LIFE Act. Congress had passed the LIFE Act specifically waiving certain areas of inadmissibility, one of which was being an overstay, someone who had overstayed his visa. This was the sole basis for Mr. Ahmed's being charged with removability or deportability. At the hearing, Mr. Ahmed pointed out to the judge that he did in fact have an approved I-130 petition filed by his sister. He was therefore grandfathered under the regulations of the Attorney General and should be allowed to stay in the United States to adjust his status. At the same time, he indicated that he could also speed up the process somewhat by filing a labor certification. They had already done 6 months of advertising as required and were about to file an application for labor certification, which was subsequently approved. The court, however, held that he was not prima facie eligible to adjust status, which was actually wrong. He was prima facie eligible. He had an approved I-130 petition, and under the government's own regulations, he was therefore grandfathered under the INS's policies. There was no deadline for filing the adjustment of status regulation. Adjustment of status application.
So he was prima facie eligible based on the sister's application that continued even past the deadline.
That's correct, Your Honor. And
but
that
no,
was
no work certificate or labor certificate or whatever it is that you have to file had been filed.
That's correct, Your Honor. The labor certification was an alternate means of adjusting status, which would have been quicker than waiting for the visa to become current on his sister's application. His sister's application was approved in 1995 for a number of aliens, and that was well before the 1998 original LIFE Act deadline of 1998, and certainly prior to April 30th of 2001. The regulations providing for the labor certification process was intended to speed up the availability of a visa because it would be immediately available under the obtaining an approved labor certification application or petition for an alien worker. So that was just a means of speeding it up. It didn't change the fact, it didn't withdraw his being grandfathered under the LIFE Act and under the Attorney General's regulations.
Is it true that when the IJ asked the DHS attorney whether the agency had a policy on what to do with aliens in Ahmed's position, that the DHS attorney said, no, we don't, but we oppose the continuance anyway?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. And
what kind of Alice in Wonderland world is this?
I don't know, because there actually was a former INS policy to allow the people to stay in the United States if they had filed either the I-130, if they were the beneficiary of an I-130 petition or a labor certification timely filed under the LIFE Act. That was the prior policy. So DHS counsel's statements, I believe, also solely went to the labor certification and totally ignored the fact that he did have an approved petition under I-130, or an approved I-130 petition, and was therefore grandfathered. I believe the board also never even mentioned the approved petition. So the finding that he was statutorily, or not statutorily, but prima facie ineligible to adjust status was just flat out wrong.
Well, isn't the issue here the labor certification, though? The filing of a labor certification?
That's what the immigration judge and the board focused on, but they essentially ignored the fact. And at one point, the judge said to Mr. Ahmed's counsel, are you stating that he is eligible to adjust and grandfathered under the sister's petition? And Mr. Ahmed's counsel said, absolutely, Your Honor. That was always the position, and he was, in fact, prima facie eligible. He was, in fact, grandfathered. The focusing by the IJ on the board on the labor certification question, I don't believe was appropriate. It wholly ignored the fact that he was, in fact, prima facie eligible, which is the judge said he was not. He was.
What does it take to be prima facie eligible?
Most of the cases go to whether they're in pending approval cases, whether there is an approvable, under 245I, if you file an approvable I-130 petition or a labor certification on or before a certain date, unless there is a denial, the prima facie, if you show the basics of your eligibility, you are prima facie eligible. He actually had an approved petition. His sister's petition was actually approved already.
And that was the one that was pending since 1995.
That's correct, Your Honor. And that's since the visa has become current and he has filed for the adjustment. But
Is that current now? You said he's filed for the adjustment. Where is that?
That's pending. That was just became current in June.
I saw that in the footnote. Does that change the complexion of this case?
Only insofar as 245I specifically allows you to adjust status if you're present in the United States. If he's removed, he's no longer in the United States, and therefore he loses that eligibility. And I would note this court's...
You have two things and then pending.
That's correct, Your Honor. The labor certification was merely a way of speeding up the process. It was not intended to divert the eligibility under any other basis. He was still eligible.
This two-pronged effort, one labor certification, one just whatever, what's the other one? What do you call it, visa? What do you call the one that's...
Family-based petition.
Okay, so that's slower, apparently. You get a labor certification, accelerates the process.
That's correct.
He never got that filed, and that's what the board focused on here.
That's correct, because the labor...
Now this other thing is going, and there's a petition. Now, I don't know whether that... With two things like that going, that requires any kind of a stay pending that, I'm not sure. Because it may be that he doesn't make it under the labor certification, but there may be a basis for a stay. Is that I'm kind of sort of confused about that.
This court did grant a stay pending resolution in this matter. The labor certification...
Stay of deportation, I guess.
That's correct, Your Honor. Under 245I, he's allowed to file for adjustment of status if he's present in the United States. If he's removed, therefore, he would no longer be eligible.
He's applied for that, and that's pending, right?
Yes. He's applied. He has filed for adjustment status under his sister's labor certification approved in 1995. The visa just became current in June. But the labor certification, there's different procedure. You had to advertise first, then you file the application with the Department of Labor. That was certified, and he did file the application for an immigrant worker visa also. So he was trying to do everything he could as quickly as he could. He did everything that Congress asked of him to do, and under the board's own regulations precedent decision in matter of Garcia, the INS's policy, he should have been granted the continuance to allow for adjustment of status. He should be allowed to adjust status as Congress intended. I will reserve whatever time I have left.
I have a question, Mr. Croce.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you understand the board's order? Because I don't.
I don't understand it to the extent that they wholly ignored the fact that he did, in fact, have a an approved petition. Nowhere do they mention the sister's petition, and that was right out of the box what Mr. Ahmed's counsel in front of the IJ said. He absolutely is grandfathered. He has a right to adjust under 245I, and the board wholly ignored it. And on that basis, I think they committed an error of fact. I think the IJ also did in finding that he was not prima facie eligible because he did have the approved petition, but I don't really understand the board's decision in that regard.
Do you think that the board thought that it wouldn't permit him to use his grandfathered status as a stay on removal because the process to obtain the work-related visa didn't begin until after removal proceedings began? And is that true?
I don't believe that has any effect whatsoever. The initiation of removal proceedings, I don't believe has any effect on whether a labor certification application and an approved immigrant worker visa would be approvable, or he would be able to obtain a visa. The question is whether that would apply under 245I. The grandfather provisions specifically apply to 245I, and 245I specifically allows you to waive being an overstay, which would otherwise create a bar,
right,
if you worked without authorization. 245I waives all of those, but you have to be present in the United States to obtain that adjustment under 245I.
But he was.
He was, and he was grandfathered, and he was eligible, and the board didn't discuss that at all. So I really don't.
Yeah, I don't get it. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, maybe Mr. Smith will be able to help me.
Mr. Smith?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think the court actually, before looking and determining whether or not this petitioner is statutorily eligible for relief, the court needs to first resolve the jurisdictional issue in this case. Does the court have jurisdiction,
yes,
to review the immigration judge's discretionary denial of continuance? It is our position that the court lacks jurisdiction under Subhan. In Subhan, this court recognize that the Immigration Act generally bars judicial review of a continuance. It is our position that in Subhan, the court found that it had jurisdiction under the particular facts and circumstances of that case. This is distinguishable here because here the immigration judge provided a reason consistent with the adjustment statute for denying a continuance. He didn't deny a continuance solely because the labor certification had not yet been approved. He denied a continuance on the basis that the alien's prospective employer here
I'm going to say something to you that lawyers always say to us. I'm going to say, with due respect to the government, with absolute respect to the government has misunderstood Subhan. The court granted Subhan's petition for review, explaining that the IJ's statement that he was not yet eligible for relief was just a restatement of the posture of his case, not a reason to deny a continuance until he became eligible. Any reason consistent with the statute, like foot dragging, criminal activity, lack of merit to his application, could have justified the IJ's decision. But without such a reason, the agency's action couldn't stand. This is, quite different.
I would respectfully disagree, because in this case, the immigration judge the agency provided a reasoned determination. Again, in Subhan, in that case, the IJ, my understanding in that case is the IJ had denied a continuance simply because the labor certification, which had already been filed, had not yet been approved, whereas here, the prospective employer had not even filed.
Let me try again to explain why Subhan is unavailing to the government here.
Okay.
a statement that Ahmed was not eligible for relief at the time of the hearing is not a reason to deny a continuance until he is eligible for relief. All that was a restatement of Ahmed's circumstances thus far in the proceedings. So any attempt to distinguish this case from Subhan, because Ahmed was not prima facie eligible for adjustment of status, is unavailing because Subhan wasn't eligible either. So,
but for a different reason. I would like to just go ahead then, and it's just assuming that the court has jurisdiction, because in looking, it seems under Subhan, the analysis of looking into whether the court has jurisdiction is intertwined with the analysis of whether or not the immigration judge properly exercised his discretion. And even if the court does have jurisdiction, it's our position that the IJ here properly exercised discretion, because in this case, the IJ found that the petitioner here was not prima facie eligible for adjustment because the labor certification which he was using to adjust had not even been filed at the time of the hearing when he requested a continuance.
But he was grandfathered under the sister's petition.
Right. I think I would like to explain, it's a little complicated. Under 245I, in order to be grandfathered, what that means is that the alien is eligible to apply for adjustment under 245I. It does not mean, being grandfathered does not mean that the alien is statutorily prima facie eligible. So being grandfathered, in order to be grandfathered on 245I, the alien has to, in this case, show that the petition was filed. A petition was filed before the sunset date of, I believe it's April 30th, 2001, and that petition was approvable when filed. And in this case...
That's the petition for labor certification?
No, that in this case, Mr. Ahmed, the petition to be grandfathered under 245I was the, I believe it was the sister's, the family petition, right. The one that was filed back in 1995 or something like that.
What was not filed with the INS? What was not filed at this point?
He was grandfathered in 245I. That's not the issue. The issue was he was going to then adjust his status using the labor certification, with the labor certification. That's why he requested a continuance, because he said, I'm grandfathered under 245I, but I'd like to adjust my status. My employer is going to file a labor cert. However, the IJ noted that he had not even filed the labor certification application at the time of the hearing.
So it's the delay in filing that labor certification.
Right, he had not filed it.
And you tried to distinguish that from
Subhan,
because in that case, everything had been filed and it was the government's delay, not
correct.
The petitioner's delay.
I think
that's where you're trying to make that distinction.
Yes, that's exactly
the question, I guess, is what did he not do here that delay was a reasonable or proper discretionary decision by the IJ?
What? I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The delay is the discretionary issue, right?
That's the way I understand this, the IJ's decision and the board's decision.
Well, but that, you see, would be a distinction between Subhan in this case. And nowhere has the government explained why the agency thinks that difference matters. I have no idea why you think it matters, and you haven't offered a reason.
Well, I think, I'm
and
sorry.
We can't be reading reasons into the IJ's or BIA orders.
Well, I think, as Judge Manning explained, there's a difference between delay by the government, as in Subhan, and delay by the alien or the alien's employer. That's the difference here. The alien had not yet come forward, and the employer, prospective employer, had not yet come forward and actually filed.
But where is that in any of the orders?
It's,
you can't just, you know, kind of come up with it.
In the IJ's decision, he says, here, no labor certification has been filed or approved to date. Filed. Even if a labor certification is filed, it still would not mean that the respondent is prima facie eligible for adjustment. The IJ made it a point, pointed out that it had not been filed, so he... The IJ, I don't know if the IJ actually used the word delay.
No, didn't.
But
and,
that's...
And didn't say that he'd foot dragged. Didn't say...
but that's, I mean, it's the same thing. When he says he didn't file it, that's... I don't see any other explanation that could be drawn from that.
Well, who knows?
I, I would like to clarify the government's position on Mr. Ahmed's status as being grandfathered.
Right.
I assume from the materials that you were conceding that he was grandfathered under the sister's visa petition. I don't understand if that's the case, then why the failure to file the labor certification, which just is an alternate route to the same relief, would make any difference.
Because being grandfathered does not make one automatically eligible for it. It just makes one eligible to apply for adjustment. There's a big difference between being eligible to apply and then being prima facie eligible. In order to be prima facie eligible, you must show that there's an immigrant visa immediately available to you, and that's a statutory requirement. And in this case, the petitioner was not even close to showing that at the time of the hearing. And I think that's important. We have to look back at the time of the hearing, not now. At the time of the hearing, did the IJ properly exercise his discretion?
So the sister's petition was filed within the statutory time period, and it was approved before the hearing was held, right?
I don't think it was.
But the visa wasn't yet available because of quotas or timing considerations?
I'm not sure if the sister's petition had actually been approved at the time of the hearing, not now. At the time of the hearing, it's not clear if the sister's petition had been approved, but what is definitely clear is that the labor certification had not been approved, much less filed.
What was approved in June or whatever it was?
That would have to be the... That's not part of the record, but I think the petition is referring to the sister's petition, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, well, that's...
But that's too... Right, that's not part of...
If you're mistaken, Mr. Ahmed goes back to Pakistan, right?
I don't... Whether he goes back to Pakistan, that's not really something that I don't want to predict. Or whether or not that's up to DHS, and that's not something that I don't think that issue is properly before the court. I think the court should just look at the decisions in this case and decide the jurisdictional issue, and then decide if it has jurisdiction, the IJ properly exercised discretion. Thank you very much.
Well, before you go, I got to ask you this. It's on your footnote 4. It says undersigned counsel has been informed by DHS that. On March 8th, 2006, I'm reading from your footnote 6, a prospective employer may finally have filed an employment-based immigrant visa petition for the petitioner. Nevertheless, this filing does not make the petitioner prima facie eligible for adjustment of status.
Okay, right. So 2006, the prospective employer did finally file the I-140.
That's you're informing us of that. And but say that... Not at the end, you say that even if DHS approves the March 8th, 2006 visa petition, it may well be at least 5 years before an immigrant visa will be available to the petitioner. I don't know what that means and what it's pending and that sort of thing, but obviously after this is filed, if he leaves, then he makes him ineligible for this. Is that?
He would have to apply through consular processing. With employment-based visas, the waiting time is longer than with family-based petitions.
Well, what is the status of the family-based visa? You say something, this is different than the family-based visa, right?
Right. The family-based visa was used to apply for under 245I because of the sunset date.
And he didn't apply for that?
He was eligible to apply.
He was eligible to apply, but he did not apply.
He did not apply.
Why? Because he was waiting for this...
The labor cert.
He was waiting to go that route instead of the other route?
My understanding is that he wanted to adjust to the labor certification at the time of the hearing. And at the time of the hearing, he had not yet filed the application for labor certification. Does that answer your question?
Well, I guess it does. I'm trying to figure out, because that's the delay we're referring to. That's
right.
The
yes.
Discretionary issue. Judge Rovner is questioning that, and we're making some distinction from Subban.
Based That's correct.
On the fact that the government had everything, and they're waiting for the government as opposed to waiting for the petitioner.
Subban, the petition labor application had already been filed.
Yeah.
Here, it had not yet been filed at the time of the hearing.
But you got the labor certification, and then you have the other route, whatever you call it, family or something.
The family petition Right, that was used, at least at the time of the hearing, in order to apply for adjustment, because otherwise...
Eligible to apply.
To apply. Otherwise, he would not have been able to apply. To
apply for labor certification or something else?
Apply for adjustment of status.
Okay, adjustment of status. Is there such a thing as a family adjustment of status?
Well, adjustment of status can be through family or through employment.
Yeah, he went employment route belatedly or something.
Right, he was applying for adjustment. He was applying for adjustment through his employment, but in order to be able to apply for adjustment, he had to have show that a visa petition had been filed before the sunset date.
But it was.
That part was filed. I'm just saying there was two things he could have done once eligible under his sister's thing and grandfathered in.
He could have also, in order to be actually be eligible for adjustment, he could have depended on his sister's petition if that had been approved at the time of the hearing.
Yeah, I guess I'm...
Rock in a hard place.
Okay. Well, unless the court has any other questions, I'll submit. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think you're done too, aren't you?
Maybe you can help us.
Well, I'll give you a minute. It's gone this far.
Do you think you could do an ABC and explain?
Sure. The sister's petition was approved in 1995.
Right.
That is what grandfathered him in. The proceeding to try to attempt to get the labor certification was just an alternate means, and it was an attempt to get a quicker
route. Okay, I wanted to accelerate the process. What if he did nothing? Just waited for whatever? Was something else going to happen if he just sat there?
Still be grandfathered. The visa...
Just wait? Grandfathered to wait?
That's correct, because of the quotas. And that was what...
Eventually, just by no labor certification, eventually he would have been...
Absolutely.
In maybe some years, but eventually?
Absolutely. And that is what became current in June, the quota, the visa under the quota system for his sister's petition.
What happens next under that?
He's already filed for his adjustment of status. He's already filed for the green card.
Back there again. And then the question is...
Which he would have done. How long
does that take?
It's taking about 6-7 months.
No, but... another 6 or 7 months, he would be okay.
He should have his interview and green card.
Well, I guess there's
the thing with the labor certification was just attempt to speed up the process by another avenue. It didn't defeat his prior being grandfathered or anything.
My understanding of the government's position on this grandfathering under the LIFE Act is that the government says you're grandfathered and therefore entitled to this relief unless we catch up with you and kick you out first. Is that a fair?
Grandfathering goes to the right to file. In other words, under the regulations, if you have filed either a family-based or an employment-based petition within the sunset period of time, and you're otherwise eligible, you have a right to file for adjustment of status. And under the INS policy, there was no deadline for filing the adjustment of status. Whenever a visa became current, that's when you could file.
But you had to wait it out. And
you had to wait it out.
If the government catches up with you and puts you into removal proceedings first, then what the government gives, the government takes away.
That was the government's position. I believe the government said that grandfathering went to... and I was scribbling my notes, but grandfathering goes to the right to file, not the eligibility to file. The eligibility to file...
That happens when the visa comes through, right?
The eligibility to file actually comes on approval, and that happened in 1995.
Okay.
The ability to file comes when the visa becomes
visa
current.
Ripens. Right, okay.
Right.
Where was the mistake made to begin with?
I don't. On petitioner's part, I don't believe there was any mistake whatsoever. His sister had filed, and he was just waiting. And the reason he was being removed was waived by 245I. So, I guess that answers your prior question. They shouldn't have been prosecuting him in the first place because that was waived under 245I. The mistake, I believe, was by the judge and the board in focusing on his attempt to speed up the process through a labor certification process, and their attention was diverted to the labor certification. And I believe that's where the error was. It's an error of fact. And they made the the mistake that that was the base, the sole basis of his being grandfathered or prima facie eligible or anything else. He was under a sister's petition back in 1995.
All right, thanks. Well, we'll take the case under advisement.